And it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and it is 8 p.m. in Jerusalem, Israel, the Holy Land. Today is August 24, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to check on the market that started to, you know, to be a little shaky this morning. And we're going to have some sound bites from all around the globe, I guess, or something that regard to a global condition. And we're going to talk how we're going to move forward in this time in history. So let's start. Let's start from the news of the morning for you all in the West Coast, but the news of everybody is checking right now all over the world, the status of the market.
Whoa, my love. I've hungered for your touch a long, lonely time. And time goes by. So
all right, we're back. I apologize, but that was a better start to the show, you know, like Enchanted Art. Yeah, it's from the movie. I took it as I wanted to get some music from movies that I love so much. It's from Ghost, and here we come. The market crash is start crashing, but we're gonna talk about it. So let's listen what's going on.
It's about 1 a.m. where I'm at, and it's gonna be all eyes on Wall Street around 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. And from what it's looking like, it's getting bad. And I believe that we have tipped the point of no return. And we've all heard this before. We've all had people saying things of this nature. But a lot of it, where they just prolonged everything so that you didn't pay attention. Well, everything's happening now. And I always said before that I believed it was going to be like the collapse in Argentina, where nobody realized what was really going on until the 9-year-old girl got on the news and they asked her why she couldn't focus in school, and she said because she has an 8 in 6 days. And I'm afraid that that's what's getting ready to happen here. You have all this stuff going on. You have, look at all these explosions and fires, you know, going on all across the world right now, in Japan, China, here in the United States. I mean, you got to ask yourself the question, and everybody's been asking on Bunker Report and everywhere else. I mean, is there some type of war going on here that we don't even know about? Are there, you know, I mean, you even got to ask, are there impact events happening that they're covering up and not making it into the mainstream media, and they're playing it off as you know, some kind of fires and explosions, just all of a sudden. But either way, long time has passed to be prepared. And I had a meeting today. I actually just got back a little while ago, but here it is, 1 a.m. And I've had emails all day, messages all day, talking to people all day long about what is going on in the markets right now worldwide. And a friend of mine that I met with today, he used to be a hedge fund manager, and he used to manage for big money investors, big wigs. And he's very good at what he does, which he doesn't do it anymore, but he still knows the game. He still keeps up with it. And like he said, it's about time. We have passed the peak, and we're in a steady decline. And that's what you're seeing right now. But all eyes are going to be on Wall Street, and you just don't know what's going to happen. But one thing's for sure, when things begin to collapse, it's just going to be steady, and it's not going to stop. It was Webster Tarplay, I believe, he said that once the dollar begins to slide, nothing's going to stop it. And I think that's what we're looking at now. I'm not saying, you know, hey, maybe nothing will happen at all. But if you have not been preparing up to this point, things are not going to look very good for you and your family. So I hope that you have taken the warnings that everybody's put out before, and you have taken heed and not been just a naysayer thinking, oh, nothing's going to happen. Or listening to people like myself and all these other people that's warned for years that you need to be preparing, you've had plenty of time, and just taking that and saying, oh yeah, it's a good thing to prepare, but not doing anything. That's the same as survival, you know, survival knowledge or anything. Watching someone do something, or someone instructing you and telling you how to do something, or reading something is one thing, but actually putting it into play, doing it yourself and putting it into practice, that's the important part. So I just hope that all of you have been putting food away, water, because we don't know how bad this is going to get. I mean, if it comes to a point where there's no food left in the grocery stores, it's going to be real bad. People ain't ready for that out here. People aren't ready for that. All the people out here with their bug out bags saying they're going to head out in the woods, the people aren't ready for that. It's a whole nother story. You know, we have never dealt with a full-blown, head-on collapse of the dollar where, you know, you have this generation anyway. This generation has not dealt with gas lines for hours, stations running out of gas. What are you going to see? I mean, you're going to see all these companies going bankrupt. There ain't no jobs now, you know? You just don't know. But all eyes are going to be on Wall Street today coming up. And who knows? But once it starts going, it's going to go. And I'm still wondering.
All right. And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with the BBS Radio. This is a concern. Tom Lapshow, which is right. People were talking about it forever. But what is actually happening is, people are selling selling. And, what happens is, they're dropping, their shares, and, stock market is going down. It's going down also in Israel, which is, horrible because, it was predicted as something that, you know, if you guys don't understand that what's prediction mean, it means that you need to change course. Every time we're telling those people, you know, you better watch because China is about to collapse or something like that. They all say that there is a lot of things, you know, China is growing. But it's all influential, you know, it's the ratio that is different. Let's get some music and we'll be back. All right, and we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis. Yeah, trust me, it's not the things that you predict when things are changing. It's the winds of change that are happening right now. And, you know, we need to take it easy. That music that I just put in is African. And, you know, you feel that you're out, you know, in the world, but you don't know all of it. So it can crash like in 1929, or we can hold our breath and, you know, and keep our trust. I don't want to see a crash, serious. And the only way is to hold on tight, nothing, and to put the pressure on the government and the banks to rearrange things. There is a way. America does not need to do that. If they start buying like crazy, I don't know where was the panic wow, nuts. It's going to be a little, you know, over the weekend. Nobody thought about it. We didn't have any solution Monday morning, so, but maybe we will. Maybe we will. So let's hope. Maybe somebody will come up with a plan. All right, guys, let's get some other sound bites that I prepared for you today, okay?
Well, new details are emerging regarding a secret side deal arranged during the nuclear talks where Iran would be subject to nuke inspections, but they would be the ones actually inspecting their own nukes. And as more information continues to become public, it's a deal that just really seems like it's going to make the world a whole lot more dangerous than it already is. Joining me now, Lisa Daftari, a Fox News contributor and investigative journalist. Lisa, I love your work. You're ahead of the curve in all of this stuff. This was really, I mean, we're here every other week, we hear something crazy with this. I can't believe this part.
Yeah, this latest layer to be exposed about the deal, it really just puts everything out on the table. We were told, the narrative that we were told by the White House is this deal is based on verification. Very easy equation. We're going to verify, and if we find that they're not complying, we're going to snap back the sanctions. And here we're finding out that there's not going to be such a great system of verification, and it's going to be more based on trust. And who are we really trusting? The same regime where we need a deal to be in place in order for us to know that
right.
They're not going to go forward with a nuclear bomb.
So we're going to have questions about what's going on in Iran. Will be able to inspect Iran.
Right, and the question here really is, if this is such a huge victory for the White House, then why aren't they being transparent about the details of the deal? Why do we have to find out now that this is the way that things are going to be inspected? They want to call this a side deal? No, this is the main part of the deal, even though it's between the IAEA and Iran, and it's not going to be included in what's going to be before lawmakers when it goes to vote
right.
next month. This is a major part of how
it's
things
nuts.
Are going
it's
to be
absolutely nuts. Now, in addition to this, they get to sign bonus, right? $150 billion. Now, I understand they get this no matter what, the $150 billion bucks.
Right. So this is kudos to the Iranian regime who was able to negotiate such a fabulous deal. They get to go on with the executions. There were 700 executions from January through July in Iran. They get to continue pouring money into Syria, into Yemen, into Iraq. Now, mind you, the people who argue that this sanctions relief is going to go to Main Street, meaning the Iranian people, they have to understand that during the time that the Iranian people were suffering under sanctions, their regime was still pouring money into Hezbollah and Hamas and into Syria and Yemen and the region. So this is not just the narrative that's being pushed by the White House, is that this is a GOP pro-Israel agenda, but this is a really a global agenda, meaning the Saudis don't want it, the Egyptians don't want it, the Bahrainis don't want it, the UAE doesn't want it. Anyone with a brain has to look at
right.
the details of this deal and understand that it's
did
not a good one.
Did they just sign another deal, too, with Russia to take East? More missile delivery?
Right. So, again, this $150 billion shopping spree that they're going on, they're proving to us where they're going to put this money, into weapons, into terrorism, and who's going to suffer here? Again, the Iranian people, the region, and global security as a whole.
Lisa, I'm glad you're on top of it. Thanks a lot.
Of course.
Really appreciate it. Well, the Dow ends.
All right, and we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. Everybody is going to be a little crazy right now, but, you know, you have to really hold on tight. Take a deep breath. Stop listening to all the noises, because it's all noises. And the truth of the matter that we've been there. We've been there when President Clinton was, at some point telling everybody, you know, don't sell, just hold on tight. Let us go through the motion. The Chinese are probably a factor, and they calculate that. You see, the balance of power always goes in, you know, it needs to be like infinite sign. You know, you always have to roll both ways. You cannot take, that's why there is a couple in everything. There is two of everything, because the balance needs to be shifted from one side to another. And the only way that you can shift it back if you empower the other side in order for you to actually go back. You see, you cannot carry the world yourself if you're the leader of a free world if you don't have a counterbalance. And the counterbalance was China. And China, of course, she worked hard, but instead of investing back in America, and she took the suck all the juice, and I'm not complaining, she did what, you know, everybody in the economy will do, you know, she did marketing. The only problem is she didn't calculate that she's consuming, you know, most of the world's resources, and she's not paying back in goods that we can transfer. And it translated to our economy. What I mean that she didn't invest back in a machine of, you know, she invested in very, very peculiar places, which makes sense in their range of time frame that they work on 500 years, station, like they did in, what was it? So when China sold Hong Kong to England, it was for 500 years. They don't play. They take a time and they go on, you know, and waiting. Now we have a shorter return. And now when the globalized economy is going in a different motion, it's faster. We have to feed it. Now China did not feed the market back, and of course, India, I don't know what part she's doing, but she could have too. Brazil, for some reason, somebody just did not play it right there because they're in a situation all of a sudden when I was trusting that they are gaining momentum. Well, they did not. Anyway, what I'm saying right now is let's pray together for the world's sake. You know, you will know in that time, in this time, that we all want a part of the same global economy, society, you know, defense, security, everything. We all want. So if you just trust, reach out to each other and say, to our friends, we trust you. You know, you are with me. So once you start connecting the line, we'll see where are the, you know, the gaps, where we should achieve more connection or more. And, you know, listen, finances banks. America can get support or not. It depends on everybody. Depend. If you guys want to decide, you know, to have, you know, a chaos, let it be. But you cannot. You cannot allow it to happen. And everybody wants, you know, the marshals are in the street. It's a known factor, and they were talking about it. No, it's not going to happen. Why? Because, you know, downside. Let's rotate, but let's work. Let's get our rules. You know, the government needs to take control of the situation as far as the finance goes. And they didn't do it in 2008. They left out of Sandy. Everybody was, you know, you're talking about devastation. To be alone is one thing. In financial world is different because you cannot, you know, when you are high producer and you turn around and people, you know, there is no banks, no government, no insurance company. Where are the insurance company? You know, guys, how much money the insurance company takes a year every time, again and again. And I never saw, paying for, you know, damages, God forbid. I saw paid, you know, FEMA's excellent unit. But I didn't see the insurance company that we all pay, give us back. Even, you know, that stuff that you put every month. At the end of the day, it's, you know, they deduct it. And people say, who's the strongest in the world of the banks? No, sweetheart. No, it's the insurance company. Because even the bank needs to be insured. Right? That's why I trust in God. Because He is the Almighty. And even, you know, they cannot control it. So that's a factor. So we all pray to safeguard, to make sure that we are going to roll this, you know, challenge, and we're going to go to the other side well, all together. Not, you know, in America, for America's sake, we really need to pray hard. All right, guys? Let's give it some love. Let's give some love to this music, all right? So we can pray for the goodness of the world to show up.
it's real, I keep it alive. The road is long.
And I'm back, Orly Benny Davis, with a PBS Radio on The Impossible Truth. And, you know, who would know that there is so much news in one thing, and, you know, you're ready, and other things are happening so fast, because this is the time, okay? So hold on tight, don't worry, because we need to go through this, because that's our destiny, what we can do. So people... You know, hold on tight, we'll be okay. Now, I got some inspiration yesterday from, chick movie, let's say. It's the Ex-Wife Club, I guess, that Bette Midler, Diane Keaton, and our other dear friend, Goldie Hawn, which is exceptional. Were there, and the idea was how women are empowered. And because we talked yesterday show about the Kurdish forces, that they are giving up their life just to save the children and other women, you know, and I felt, you know, the biggest inspiration that we all had were from American women. American women from the 60s, you know, the hippie stuff started in America all the time, that, you know, the 60s, the freedom, it was a movement that started. But the women were the one that actually delivered it, because the message was so clear that women can be strong, women can be pretty, and women can be fun. And, you know, you don't have to be, special to be free. You just need to act up. And from the movie of Goldie Hawn yesterday, I was saying, my goodness, those women are exemplary of what American women are. They study so hard. They work so hard. They go, and they're the superwomen of the world. And trust me, you never saw a country that contributes to mankind like America. And I'm saying it as a foreigner that was lucky enough to spend so much time in America, and to come very young, get married there, and actually be a part of that mechanism of charity. I don't remember any year in my presence in America that I did not belong to any organization, because the women are organized to help, and the organization is a constant being. Of course, you know, there is request, different level, but there is always something to continue. In other world, in the rest of the world, you have maybe the startup of charities organization, but they don't have the shell made in by the system that they can contribute and can be a part of it. You know, we have so many nonprofit organizations that we need to really assess, you know, even NGO, you know, non-governmental organization are important, but we need to assess what we need to do at this point in time where there is a need, you know, of people that have a need. There is an organization on the ground here in Israel that was created by an American scholar who came to Israel, Israeli, but she's an American scholar, and she came and she saw the need. She saw the need that Holocaust survivors have nobody to turn on to when they're needed. We're talking Holocaust survivors. My goodness, there are over 80s and some. They've been around forever to suffer, you know, through the Second World War, and now they need to suffer because they're old and nobody takes care of them. And she was so kind, and she created this organization, and they, you know, they help with the system, with the military. And she actually admitted that one of the issues, or the biggest issue, is to work against the government organizations that actually are disturbing the process. It means that red tape. Come on, let's call it. You can take one piece of paper, stamp it, and let it be, right? Or you can go around. You can make it through, go around again and again, and the person just miserable. And you know, I want to say, as somebody who serves the public voluntarily for free for as much as I remember myself, I want to ask, for all those people that really are mean, are not cooperating. You, when you see somebody who's not working with the value and the moral things, I'm not saying that, you know, fire everybody, but please, you know, don't let them take advantage of people. If you see that, just fix it. Now, why I'm saying that? Because in this moment now, it will be the time of those NGOs, all those organizations that will be called. If, let's talk about emergency session for a minute. If you guys have to think about what's going to happen, they're going to go all insurance not paying, right? So what is nonprofit? Who has the funds to fund anything? Who can help? You're talking about the churches. The church is being dried out because the defamation of things, the temples too. You know, the Jewish people are poor. You know, they've been managing a lot, but managing a lot, they need to understand, the people, that it's not money that you move. It's all in goods, and it's actually help other people, or it's the houses, it's the housing system, it's the real estate, or product of some sort, I don't know. But what I'm saying is, we need to be really, really kind to each other right now and start thinking about a global umbrella of NGOs and nonprofit organizations to see where we need to help. Because, for example, in the Philippines, the last week, earthquake, there was another earthquake there. That's what I understood. Or maybe I'm wrong, or the typhoon hit there again. Something wrong is happening in Philippines. And what we have a condition, human condition, and nobody's talking about it. They don't reach the news even. And we all being selfish and very self-preserved for the long run. La La Land, you know, I love. We'll see you there. When we need to watch at what's happening now. To talk about the Iran deal all day long, by all means, I'm bored. But I'm bored to my over my mind, because it's a destruction of the government to not talk of the real issues, because there are real issues on the table. And if you say, oh, they're going to kill us, I'm busy. No, stop it. It's over. Iran is, you know, that girl on this sent me from Fox News. This, you know, I was very honored because they sent me that. But this is like an alert. Oh, they're running. They're going to inspect themselves. Yes, because they gave the awards of honor. What do you guys don't understand? You know, people have to understand culture too. You can't insult people. You know, they signed an agreement. Now, if they are not going to respect it, you're going to act. But stop being so, panicky. Get off that horse and let Iran settle, okay? Let's start giving them the space, and we have the time to see. And God, if everything is collapsing, they're going to go, what, they're going to explode us now? Why? Let's assume that they will. It's going to be messy for everybody. They're not going to win. Nobody's going to win. No, it's not a good idea, right? It's not a good idea, right? No, I trust they are not going to do... it's not a trust. I trust in God. I trust in the will of God to help us on this one. And I know that it's a better tomorrow there. And I'm here because I believe in a better tomorrow. And I want you to understand that we are going to make this better tomorrow. It's not that we have to settle for the mess. All right? So let's not create one ourselves and not panicking. Ah, this alarm clock is really, really ticking all day long. Let's think of the, you know, it's almost a holiday for the Jewish people all over the world. I want to see, you know, this Holocaust survivor needs a dinner party for the people. Dinner party. we need volunteer. We need to help them. You know, people are thinking like a week to dinner for people, whole people. It's a week only. You know, why I know it about it just now. But still gonna be, you know, a wonderful, wonderful. Well, I'm talking week for me. It's a week, but it's probably like 3 weeks from now. But what I believe is going to be happening for them, it's going to be a beautiful Rosh Hashanah for them. So as we ask for redemption from God this month, I ask for him to save America, because I love America so much, and I want her to be as mighty and great like she's always been. I love her so much, and the women in, you know, that part of the world gave us so much inspiration. That's who we are today, so I'm so thankful. Let's listen to some more music.
What did she say?
The moment I wake up.
Oh.
Before I put on my makeup.
I say a little prayer for you.
While combing my hair now. While wondering what dress to wear now.
I say a little prayer for you.
Forever and ever, you stay in my heart, and I will love you forever and ever.
That was, you know, the music from my best friend wedding with Julia Roberts, which is exceptional. But I'll pray for you, a little pray for you. That's something that we all have to do today. All right, let's talk about, you know, connection. First of all, I want you to know that North Korea and South Korea settled. There is an agreement. So they're going to shush for a little while. And they need just to sit put and, you know, stay out of the picture. I don't understand what this was all about. But they shouldn't have roused everybody's suspicion, because, you know, it's not a friendly time to play around. And, you know, North Korea maybe wants to play, but I wonder what kind of agreement. Nobody's talking about that agreement, right? Okay, but we have some speech from a new friend, you know, of Israel, which is Egyptian, that came and studied. You know, people come from all over to study in Israel. And the important thing about it is when you start talking from a different perspective, especially in the university, you get a different idea of what's going on. And it's amazing. So good for him. Let's listen to him.
So, ladies and gentlemen, good evening. It's a great pleasure for me to speak to you on this evening. That represents the end of one chapter in our life and the beginning of another. I would like to invite all of you to take a moment to reflect on the beginning of your adventure here to Israel. Do you remember receiving your acceptance letter? You were probably excited to come here to this country. Then you started telling everybody you were coming to Israel, and maybe you start to get a little bit nervous. Everybody is in this room has had a friend or a family member who told him not to come to Israel. There is conflict there. Aren't you afraid of being blown up? Do Jews speak English? Do they have water? So, if you think you heard a million reasons why not to come to Israel, I heard a million and a half. Growing up in Egypt, the entire country had opinions about Israel, and none of them were positive. All we knew was that we had fought bloody wars, and they were not like us. My first exposure to Israel was through music and television. On the radio, there were anthems about the destruction Israel had caused. On the movies, Israelis were depicted as spies and thieves. And instead of the fact that the two countries struck a very famous peace accord in 1979, the Israelis, I was told, were our eternal enemies. A recent Egyptian action movie called Cousins, a box office hit, told the story of an Israeli spy who married an Egyptian woman and had family with her, only to kidnap the children and go back to Israel. So, when I told my mom about my intention to come and study here in Israel, she was understandably terrified that I would get a girlfriend. I arrived to Israel knowing only what I had learned in the movies and the media. So at the airport, when the security official asked me about the reason I decided to come here, I half jokingly said, I always heard the Jews are bad people, and I came to see this for myself. I expected to find that people here were unfriendly, and especially unhappy to meet Egyptians. But I was pleasantly surprised to find just the opposite. I was invited everywhere, from Shabbat dinner to Ramadan iftar meals, and even to political gatherings and plays. And the diversity I found here was as surprising as the warmth of the people. On my very first day here at the university, I saw men in kibbas, women in headscarves and hijabs. I saw soldiers walking peacefully among lively crowds of students. I learned that there were people of every kind on the university, and the university had a place for all of them. Jews, Muslims, Christians, Druze, Bedouins, and even...
All right, and we are back, and you got the point. In Israel, you got Jews, Christian, Muslims, Druze, Czech, whatever nationality, you're welcome here, as long as you play nice. You know, the idea is defense. Israel is on defense. She's not an attack. And many places she's been actually abused, like Temple Mount. Let's not forget about that. And I need to inform you all that there were incidents where women on Temple Mount knocked girls, Jewish girls. And, you know, the religious Jewish girls are not really have the tendency to be the bully type, so they're very minute and small in sizes, and they had been beat up, and today policemen were attacked, so they're thinking about National Guard. This is going to change soon, the situation there, because the Israeli had a change of Minister of Interior Defense, which is not willing to oversee the security side, which the other one probably was asleep because he didn't see it happening. And in the next few months, we're going to have in Israel the change of the head of the oil apparatus, the security apparatus, and it's going to be really, really a different strategy because they're going to take on, you know, on security level on a different side. You know, you guys have to understand, things are changing, people will change. That's all. And, you know, you have to respect freedom as long as you interfere with others want freedom. And the Muslim here been on Temple Mount, been running ragged. They've been floating around all flags of terrorist organization, which is against the rules of the Jordanian, and Jordan needs to create some kind of committee. And I'll be happy to learn that they're touch and go based on to create some kind of Israeli Jordanian alliance or Jordanian Israeli alliance will be to come to terms with the situation. I hope that, but we need somebody in the higher court, you know, talking to us about it. It's not enough that, you know, you have a single or two respectable, honorable citizen coming through. We need a major league understanding, because if the time is ticking, then the change needs to happen, and it's going to happen soon. It's better to be through conversation and not through power, which I insist is the only way we're going to solve these things. And why? Because we can destroy ourselves. That's known fact, all right? We want to go back and play right, all right? Let's see if we have time for one more thing, probably for a little, but let's listen to this. It will be a second, but I'll break through in a few.
Nelson Mandela and the Queen of England, his eighth and final one-man show, The Ultimate Jew, starts in New York March 18th. Please welcome the great Jackie Mason.
All Thank you so much for being
God
here.
God bless you. This is a fantastic audience. I don't have to show up to see the whole party. These people have a good time by themselves. You could go home and they'll enjoy themselves without you.
That's a
wonderful, wonderful, warm audience.
They're
God bless you. God bless you.
Basking in the Janet Jackson's glow.
God bless you. It's a pleasure to see a crowd so happy. I'd like to know what they're so happy about. Maybe they got in for nothing. Is that the main thing?
I think that probably helps. Yeah, if we charge them, they wouldn't be as boisterous.
This is not so comfortable
you
here.
You all right? Well, you know.
This the best arrangement you got for you?
Yeah. We're saving up
how
to get a new
how
sofa.
How come you got a good seat with a table? I have to sit like a schmuck over here.
Well, it's
I'm
not a real table.
I'm an international star, Grammy Awards, Tony Awards. You can't have a desk here in front of me.
You think I would? Oh, no. Would you, I have something nice for you.
That's all right. I won't make an issue out of it. I can see you can't afford a whole set.
No, we can't. We'll get one eventually. They're hoping by year 8.
Yes. So let's see if you got an intelligent thing to ask me.
I don't have much intelligence. Well, what I do want to know, and this is a question, I can't imagine, first of all, performing for the
Queen.
Does
everybody have to sit like this?
Well, however you want to sit.
Nobody ever complained before?
Not this much. But Jackie, when you perform, and you obviously you've been doing comedy your whole life, but then you get a call from someone, I imagine not the Queen herself, but someone saying, the Queen would like you to come perform for her, or Nelson Mandela would you like you to come perform for him.
Well, they don't always have to ask you. Did Ben Affleck ask for you? He didn't have to ask for you. He happened to appeal to you, so he went, listen, and you wanted to see if it would work out. I think that was the real you. The one with your girlfriend is the fake one.
That's the fake me, yeah. You might be right on that. It's still up in the air.
He's looking for me now. That's why I got away. You have to come here to get away from Ben Affleck.
Really?
Yeah, he saw me. He couldn't control himself.
That little slut, he's with everyone. It's ridiculous.
I can't trust this Nazi bastard.
You've been telling jokes for a very long time, obviously, and have had more success than just about anybody. Uh-huh. But one of the things, another thing you did, which nobody really did, was you made fun of Frank Sinatra.
Right.
In the
Not only did I make fun of him, I said that the man is a very sick, disturbed person. He was a very disturbed person. He liked to start fights with everybody. People think that he was such a wonderful human being. He was a great singer, and he was great. He gave a lot of charity. He was a wonderful guy in many ways. But he also persecuted people a lot and abused people a lot. And I told him off when I was doing a show in Las Vegas, and he was in the audience, and he started interrupting me. Not only interrupting me, he started throwing lines at me. You're full of this, you're full of that. He started throwing lines at me and trying to abuse me as I'm performing.
Wow.
And I told him off because
I can't believe Jackie Mason was having a fight with Frank Sinatra. He's dead. He's gone. Forgive him. It's, for God's sake, whatever it was, it's over. But I wanted to salute Jackie Mason because his shows, entertain us all. Of course, you know, something that we all have to figure out this time, that we need to be to the point. We need to learn to frame our work or our message to the point. There is so much information running around. If you want to be heard, you need to just get the system of understanding that you cannot start the music like 20, you know, don't be long before you start. Just go on. Make your message, frame it, go to the point, make people understand, because they'll walk away. And if you want to sell anything, you know that the first 30 seconds are the most important. So if you lose or you think to entertain the people by, you know, starting to talk, around the corner, it's a waste of time and it's a waste of your breath. So don't do that. Don't do that. Just in this time of age of information, we got the kids are typing so fast that it will blow your mind away to see them how they manage their time. And we are like the mothers and fathers and the country people that are very good. They keep it up, you know. The people who are 80 years old that start, you know, getting on the computer and doing stuff, it's amazing. I'm so proud of them. But just remember, you cannot be long. You send me mail. You know how much mail I hold I can't open all of it. I don't have. Just send me, you know, talk when you go, get to the point. When you send a message, you said it's from you about that. Give us, you know, highlights, points. Once people are interested, they'll let you know, they'll start talking to you, you will get around. You know, it's all changing now, and we have to play with the change. It's not going to be funny. If, you know, we start talking and they'll walk away, it's not nice when you have when you start, you know, for example, a soundbite, I need to start, you know, a minute into it because it was all blah, blah in the beginning, or it was a waste of time. When you edit the web, we need to calculate that we have space, too. And people, for some reason, think that when they have videos on, they can go and, you know, to start events, live events. We have live events on the videos. You can start, you know, wasting our time. Don't waste our time, okay? My minutes are important, and I calculate every second here to be with you. And I honor that minute because I know that it's so important for me to give you what I can to make you feel that I'm with you. You have a space in time here in this zone. This is BBS Radio for the people, by the people. It's amazing. So we need to understand, and I give you the impossible truth because I'll tell you the truth no matter what. And if people are scared, yes, they're scared, but hold on tight. Trust in yourself. Trust in humanity. You know, we have to trust in God, but humanity learned lesson. We learned lesson. We're not going to go that route again. All right, so I want to salute you with a lovely song that I love you, and I'll be missing you until Wednesday. And Frank Sinatra, God bless you all. Ask for forgive me. You know, I didn't mean to put that part on. All right? God bless you all. See you on Wednesday with our Italian music. Wednesday at 7 p.m. Jerusalem time. Bye-bye.
If I should stay, I would own. Be in your way, so I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way.